talking a busy month, and honestly, a spiritual battle month, because Satan does not want us to enjoy the time of December and what that means to believers and Christians. You know, we all look forward to Christmas, you know, look forward to maybe some look forward to putting the tree up or putting lights on or putting the lights up. Maybe look forward to Christmas movies. Look forward to Christmas presents. Some look forward to a guy in a red suit. Kind of plan on that for the month. So look forward to things. Look forward to a lot of things that we're waiting on, anxious to happen. And I want to just touch on Advent, because that's really what Advent's about. And I appreciate doing the Advent and talking about the candles and going through that. But I just wanted to touch on it this week a little bit, too, that, you know, Advent means coming or arrival, and it's looking forward to Jesus coming. So it's generally celebrated it right now to the coming of the birth of Jesus, but it's not only the birth, but it's Him coming again that we look forward to. And I believe it actually started out looking for the second coming versus the birth, and then it kind of morphed over into the birth as well in Christmas. But it's looking for Jesus coming, His arrival. That's the Advent season. And so they take 4 weeks, light a candle to represent us looking forward to Jesus, and some different thoughts on that. You know, and as Israel waited on the Messiah, they knew a Messiah was coming. You know, the church waits for Jesus to come back. You know, we're kind of in the same thing. They're waiting on Messiah. We're waiting for His return. But it uses December. It uses 4 Sundays. And they typically, there's different names that they use, and there's different colors of candles that different people use. But it basically, typically represents hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, there's some other ones that people throw in there to replace those names, but a lot of time it's hope, peace, joy, and love. So we see the green wreath. It's circular. It's, again, you know, we get tied up, you know, in Christmas trees. You know, I do have some people that just think that's awful to use a Christmas tree, especially in a church. You shouldn't have a Christmas tree in a church, but it's a tradition. We don't worship the tree. It's a tradition. And you can tie any tradition into God, too. You know, you can make it good or bad, whatever it is. You know, it's evergreen, and the stars and the lights and all of that thing. So the wreath is that. Again, a green wreath. It's the everlasting life. It's round to be an ending love. Generally, then the four candles, well, you got five, actually, one in the middle. And 4 candles are generally purple candles. Purple candles are for hope, peace, and love. We need to take them into account. You know, do we have that hope? Do we have that peace? Do we have that love? The pink one's for joy. If you have the other three, you can have that one. If you have the other three, you can have joy. And then the center is the white candle, representing Christ, His light, and His purity. So that's what we celebrate. That's what Advent. Hope. We go candle by candle. Hope. Romans 15:13. Says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow in hope with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So our hope is we trusting in Him, who He is, what He's done, not what we did, but what He's done for us, is to know Him and His power, and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that gives us that hope. It says, if we have that hope, it'll fill you with the joy and peace. Again, if you have Christ in you, it'll fill you with those other things. Peace is another one. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Do not be afraid. So it's a peace that only God can give. You know, I say, well, I don't have peace. You know, I'm not, don't have a peace about it. Well, it's, peace isn't the absence of sorrow and pain. Peace is the presence of God in your life. Sorrow and pain is going to be around, but God can overcome it to give you that peace. Joy, John 15:11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, again, we've talked happiness is external. There's a lot of things that make us happy, but joy is an internal thing. We can have an internal joy by Christ and the Holy Spirit, despite all the outside circumstances going on. And he wants to give us that joy. He wants to make it complete in us if we give it all to him. Love. John 15:12-13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, God is love. He commands us to love one another. You know, God loves us so much, he came down to die for us. He gave his only son to take our place so that we can be with him for eternity. Jesus was a gift of love. A little baby was a gift of love. He gave himself. So that's what Advent's about. So take time as they go, each one of these, you know, if we talk about hope, just consider your hope that week. You know, if it's peace, do I have that peace? You know, even though life's throwing a lot of stuff, do we have that inner peace that Christ can give? Do we have the joy? If we have the hope and peace, then we can have some joy. Do we have the love? Do we have the love for one another? Love enough to share? It's also a time for family. You know, we get time for family, and sometimes that's, oh yeah, we get to get together. Maybe sometimes that's, oh no, we got to get together. I know how that goes. So just being honest here. But, you know, something, oh yeah, you should meet my family, and we got a great family, and, you know, maybe, I don't know. Have a little bit of dysfunction in our family, you know. You might want to stay away from cousin so-and-so or uncle so-and-so, and he's always doing this and that. So we all have families. We all have we love them. We don't always disagree with them, but we love them. But we get together, you know. You know, Jesus had a family too. You know, and that's, I'm gonna bore you a little bit with some of his genealogy this morning, but I have a point to it, so bear with me. So we're going to be in Matthew 1:1-17. And we're going to talk about Jesus' genealogy. You know, if we follow down through. So this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham, and you're going to recognize a lot of these names, and a lot maybe you won't, but we're going to pull some out when we get finished. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. Then after the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. I always just like to say that, Zerubbabel. That's so cool, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud, Abihud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Akim, Akim, the father of Eliad, Eliad, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Messiah. So it's a lot of names there, a lot of words, a lot of family tree there. Doesn't list all of them, it just lists 14 in three separate groups. And the first group was basically the patriarchs for about 1,000 years. The second group, David to the exile, was around 400 years, and then the last group was around 600 years that he mentioned. But genealogies were very important at those times for the Jewish people. It's basically who they were. They had to prove ancestral lines to their division, to their ancestors. Priests had to produce an unbroken line back to Aaron to be a priest. A priest who wanted to marry had to choose a woman whose Hebrew ancestry reached back at least 5 generations. So they had to have these set up to prove who they were and where they came from. I can help you with genealogy. I know some people love genealogy here. But I'll give you a good starting point. If you don't want to go quite so far back, Noah. Yeah, great, 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 great grandpa Noah. So we're all related. So if you go way back, it's the great, great, great grandpa Adam. So we're all hooked together, whether you want to be or not. We're all family, one way or another. So then you can get the most recent ones. But those are starting points if you want to get into genealogy. But Jesus' ancestry points back directly to the throne of David. Calling him son of David couldn't be challenged because he literally was part of that line, the line of David. It was true and everybody knew it. Bible genealogies, again, they were guarded, they were kept up, they were important. But most of them end with the birth of Jesus. They come up to the Messiah, and then that's about where they stop. We don't see a lot of people's ancestry in the New Testament. We don't see, the Jewish background and stuff as much as we do in the Old Testament. Although I do think Jews still use that to call out people. I believe they still try to make the priests show they have a Levitical connection that they have to show. But we don't know the family members of a lot of people, Paul or Peter, or, we may know a person or two, but we don't know their ancestry, where they came from. It's just not as important once Christ is important. In the New Testament, since Christ, God recognizes his family line, those that become a child of God through being reborn in belief in Jesus and his atonement on the cross. That's the new family line. It's a family line of life, no longer the family line of Adam and death. All the old ones said, begat. So, if you go to the begats, and then he died. Begat, and then he died. But not the case for New Testament believers. If we look at Matthew, there's also one in Luke. Now, there's a line from Joseph where Luke, this line's from Joseph. There's a line, the other line in Luke, a lot of people consider that more of Mary's line. But this book of Matthew was written to the Jewish people. So it's to show the Messiah, it's show him as the king. So it starts with the patriarch, Abraham. Luke goes back to Adam, because Luke was written more for Gentiles. So Jesus as the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. Matthew has Joseph's father as Jacob. But Luke has Joseph's father as Heli. Don't get concerned, it's not wrong. It doesn't contradict each stuff. It's okay, it's different. But Heli was actually Joseph's father-in-law. That was Mary's father. So it lists him in Mary's account as Heli's his father, which was actually his father-in-law. So, but if we look at the ancestry of Jesus, you know, his family line certainly wasn't perfect. You know, the line that we see, some of the people, it included, just look at them, you know, and it goes clear back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, they all had their issues. You know, Abraham, he was a pretty good liar in the beginning. You know, he lied when he went to Egypt. He was scared, you know, that they were going to take Sarah, and lied about different things. He had his issue. You know, when he went with Hagar and started a whole new group of people, a whole new Arab nation that is still causing issues today. God said they would have issues. And it's still the case even today. It's what's going on right now. You know, Judah did a lot of bad things as a father and a brother. You know, and sometimes you throw your brother down the hole trying to get rid of him and you sell him off. You know, Judah, although he came back and said just to sell him, he had a little remorse about putting him down a cistern, and we'll sell him instead. And then we'll find out, you know, some other things about Judah. You know, David even commented downstairs in Sunday school, David broke all of them. You know, all the top 10, they were wiped out by David. He did all of those. And you can go down the list, you know. But then most genealogies in the Bible don't include women. But this one does. Jesus does. You know, many, again, counted women as objects. They didn't have a lot of rights. They couldn't do a lot of things. They were counted as objects. They could be done as basically what men wanted. So it was actually said in morning prayers, Jewish men, when they prayed, they gave thanks to God. But they gave thanks to God. They weren't a Gentile, they weren't a slave, and they weren't a woman. That was the morning prayer by Jewish men. So that's how women were treated. But, you know, not only were women included in the book, but we see who they are. Three of the five were non-Jewish women. You know, they weren't Jewish. We see Tamar married into Judah's family. You know, he married Judah's sons. Judah's son wasn't very good. And he passed away. And as the rule then, you married the next son to fulfill that role. And she did, and that person was also evil in God's eyes, and he passed away too. And then, of course, then Judah said, "Man, I got to give you another one. I don't want to lose any more." Well, you know, she disguised herself as a temple harlot and met up with Judah. And he took advantage. And we see she had Perez and Zerah. Rahab's mentioned. She was also a harlot living in Jericho. As you know, she ended up, that's probably maybe one you're most familiar with, helping the spies and protecting them and hanging scarlet cord up so they knew where she was. She was protected, and And you get a lot of that, a scarlet cord. It signified, you know, Christ's death on the cross. You know, that's a was a saving place. Well, the scarlet cord saved her. She had she helped the spies. She hid them. She gave them some intel. She and the spies, and she was saved for her faith, her and her family. And she was the mother of Boaz. A lot of people have heard of Boaz. Ruth is well known, and generally known as a moral person. But again, she was non-Jewish as well. She came from Moab. But we know she followed Naomi to her home. You know, she wanted what Naomi had. And she ended up marrying Boaz. And we know she was King David's great-grandmother. Well, Bathsheba and David got together. Doesn't mention her name. Says wife of Uriah, but we know that's Bathsheba. We know Bathsheba and David got together after David basically murdered her husband. And they had Solomon. Now that was after they got together and after they had gone through some consequences of that. But upon repentance, God blessed them with Solomon. And then we have Mary noted. And notice it says Joseph, the husband of Mary. It doesn't say the father of Jesus. It says the husband of Mary. But then it says Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, we know Joseph wasn't the true father. He wasn't the biological father. He was given a big role to play. But we know God was the father. She was chosen for a special birth. This young girl, the birth of Jesus, the perfect baby for the perfect sacrifice that we needed. And just think of all the things she gave up, which we may talk about in another message, but her whole life changed. We're going to have an invitation prayer in a minute, but I want us to look at Jesus' genealogy, and you know, we see, you know, there's a wide variety of people. You know, it's not so different from our families. A lot of mistakes, a lot of bad choices. So many lifestyles completely different than what God would want, have them to be. But we see in this genealogy, each and every one has a faith and a trust in God and his people. You know, David was called a man after God's own heart, despite all the things that he did. Breaking all the top 10. A man after God's own heart. He still had that faith. He knew who God was. He was in his life. Abraham believed and was counted as righteous. He was looking forward. He believed the promise God gave him, that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. He believed him and was counted as righteous. That's all it takes. Tamar didn't want to go back to her people. She could have. You know, she'd had two husbands, didn't have children. She could have gave that up and went back to her own people, but she didn't. She wanted to remain with God's people. She wanted to receive the promises that she had the faith to receive. She had been around him. She knew the Lord. She wanted those promises. So she stayed. And she received them. Rahab heard of God's people and wanted to be a part. She told the spies, "I've heard about your God." She wanted to be a part of it. She had faith to help him and trusted, again, by hanging that scarlet cord, Christ on the cross. And again, through her faith, she saved herself and her family. Ruth wanted to be with God's people and the true God. So she followed Naomi because Naomi had obviously told her about God. So she left everything she knew, her people, her surroundings, her home. She left everything she knew in faith to follow her, what Naomi had told her about God. She She wanted to be part of that. She wanted to be have that God in her life. Again, Bathsheba and David did wrong. They suffered terrible consequences from it. But on repentance again, God removed that sin and blessed them in big ways. Mary gave up all kinds of things in obedience for what God desired her to do. And she fully trusted it. She said, just it'll be as you say. I'll do it. Changed her whole life. Changed all of her plans. So, no matter what you've done, no matter where you came from, if you have the desire and the faith to be with God's family, and have the faith in Him and believe in Jesus Christ, God's calling you. And He wants great things for you. All of those imperfect things we do, He'll change. He'll create perfection out of them. And He wants to use you to be a part of it. All these imperfect people led to Jesus. You know, He took, made perfect out of imperfect. Because they wanted Him. They had faith. So again, as we go back this week, these weeks following up, when you think of hope, you know, trust the Holy Spirit, trusting in Him. Think of the peace that God gives in the midst of all the turmoil, not in the absence of it, because we have Him. Think of the joy. You can have joy in Christ. You can still have that interior joy, not happiness that goes away. That's just for a little while, but the joy that stays. And then the love that God has for you. As Christ is in the middle and give His light. You know, when they lit another candle, it didn't take the flame away from the one, it added. That's what we need to do. We need to add that light to others. We need to be a Tyler. We need to be a Tyler this week, each and every day. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. You came for everyone. You came for everyone, no matter who. We may think they're the best one. We may think they're the most evil one, Lord. But You came for each and every one. Each and every one has the opportunity, Lord, to believe on You, to trust in You, to have faith in You, to accept You for what You did. Lord, I pray as we go through this time that we do think of our hope is in You. Our faith is in You. Our trust is in You. That we can have a peace, Lord, that because You're in us, Lord, You can give us a peace. We've shared that before. We thank You for the joy we can have, Lord. The joy in You, the joy in things that happen each and every day. Sometimes we build up the bad things, Lord, and forget about the good things. We know this month is a spiritual battle. We just ask You to give us Your strength by the Spirit, Lord, to overcome, Lord, and to really pay attention to who You are, Lord, and what You did, that You made the imperfect into something perfect. We just praise You for that. Just help us to maintain that in our lives, Father, as we think about You and what this season means. Lord, we just ask You to be with us, watch over us. Just let the Holy Spirit teach us, Father. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tom, I want to give a little testimony, if I may.
Sir?
I appreciate your message. When I was 11 years old, my mother died of cancer, and I remember there was a yellow church bus. They came by our house. We were in a rural area. And it was a Nazarene church in Rochester, Michigan. And I can remember going to that church. And I can remember Mrs. Cam, who was such a blessing to me. It showed shows how people along the way that do influence you. And then when my mother died, I moved here to Indiana with an aunt and uncle that lived on a farm. And they were very committed to their church. And it was there in that little Presbyterian church that I really started my faith journey. And I look back generations, how they do influence you over the years. And I'm so grateful for your message today, but I'm so grateful for the life that God chose for me through my families. And I truly give thanks to God for the guidance he gave me in my life, because it was in that little church that I did start my faith journey. When I was 16, they asked me to do a reading in front of all the women of Hendricks County, and my knees shook. But I believe that was the starting of my work in the church, and I'm so grateful to God, and I'm grateful for those people, my family, who did help me along the way. And I did appreciate your message today.
Thanks. Well, we're who we are today through God and working through those before us.
That's right.
They brought us to this point. Let's sing, Lisa. Let's sing, Vicki.
I'll answer anything. It's okay.
I caught you both, Lisa, Vicki.
There you go. You got it both. If y'all will please stand and sing with me, 757, soon and very soon.